Hello, and welcome back for another adventure on the Outdoor Hour. I'm your host, Leslie Ann Corrigan, and it has been an absolute pleasure to take you on these weekly adventures in the outdoors. We've been talking to lots of people lately. Certainly, it is the fall of the year, so it is the time to get out and about and enjoy yourselves and get into nature, and that's exactly what we've been doing. This week, I'm very excited because I get to go moose hunting. I put out the call last week on Target with Carrie Hotter and asked if anybody would like to take me moose hunting. And of course, I got a couple of calls. One of my very good friends, Maurice Boudreau, is the chef at the Hungry Heart Cafe. And he's actually got a charity license for Stella's Circle, which operates the Hungry Heart Cafe. And we're going to get into a little bit more about exactly what that social enterprise is and about the restaurant later on in the show. But first things first, we're going to get out and try to get this moose. We're in Brigus Junction and we're here with Maurice and his brother-in-law and his cousin, and I've been so lucky that they've invited me along on this family hunt for such a great cause. And we're just getting our bikes out and getting ready. There's a couple of bikes and an Argo, so I'm going to get to ride in style today and get out and get into the country. I'm very excited about it. Of course, I'm going to send a lot of pictures into the Facebook page, so please do follow along. And I know that there's lots of people who are out hunting and into the woods this time of year, so please send along your pictures. I'd love to see them. We're going to check in with Maurice and his crew now as they prepare the last minute to get out and get onto the trail. Here we are. We're just a couple of kilometers in on the trail, and we are just about here in Moose Country. But I wanted to catch up with Maurice before we go down into where we're going to kind of set up and start the process, because I wanted to talk a little bit about Brigus Junction, where we are for the weekend. So Maurice, I've noticed, I mean, just driving from your cabin to Doug's cabin last night, this park is huge. It's a great big place. When they call it cabin country, this could really be called cabin city for sure. It's huge.
Yeah, for sure. It's becoming very populated now, and rightfully so. I mean, it's a great area. It's a beautiful country in here, and lots of ponds and lots of hunting. And you know, if you're from the city, then it's really close, and you know, it makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, have you been coming up here a long time yourself?
Yeah, well, we've had the cabin. It's been the family cabin for over 20 years now, so you know, I used to come up when I was younger, and then you know, I've been coming up more now. Now that we got a little boy, and you know, he loves coming up and going trouting and getting in the woods himself, right?
Yeah. I bet he does, and it's so awesome that you can just take a short drive and you're in the middle of nowhere, and then even from your cabin, even though it's in a little community, you're just a short drive on the quad, and you're in the middle of nowhere. We're out here in the middle of nowhere now. It's fantastic.
I know, it took no time to get here, really.
No, definitely not. A little ride on the bike is always a bit of fun, too. So we're going to kind of keep our voices down now for a while, folks. We're going to get down next to a swamp. This is perfect moose country because there's swamps and bogs and all sorts of things around. What's your hope for today, Maurice?
Well, it's pretty cool right now, but it is supposed to warm up. I mean, obviously, we do hope to see some moose today. It's looking like it's going to be a good day. So, I mean, hopefully we do see something.
Hope for the best. Yeah. So, and again, I just want to remind people that this license that we're hunting with today is a charity license.
Yes.
Stella's Circle is the charity that we're hunting for, and we're going to use the meat at the Hungry Heart Cafe.
I'm so grateful to work somewhere where I can go and hunt this license, and we can, you know, we can use this moose for many things. We serve it in the cafe and dishes, and then we also use it for different participant meals, and you know, a lot of food insecurity issues on the go these days. So I mean, it all helps in the end, right?
You're absolutely right. So we're going to talk more about that later on in the show. We're going to catch up with some people from Stella's Circle, and you're going to feed me again. I love it.
Let's hope we get this moose today.
We better, or we're going to have to dig into the freezer.
Yes.
Thanks so much, Maurice. So we're not having so much luck with the huntings. We decided to take a little break for lunch. And it's not your typical lunch in the woods. Not that we haven't had our little feed of Vienna sausages and homemade bread. But we've got a little bit of a different spread given the fact that Maurice is the chef at the Hungry Heart Cafe. So Maurice, what is it we're having for lunch today?
This one's a little different. I guess we're doing a little mousse ravioli for lunch. Take advantage of what we had left from last year, make a little filling, and put in some fresh homemade pasta, get the fire going, and let's treat ourselves to a little lunch now.
Excellent. So I should mention, folks, that while we were getting ready last night to leave early this morning, Maurice made this pasta with his pasta roller. Not many people do I see come out to the cabin and go to a moose hunt with their pasta roller in hand, but I'm sure glad he did. So we've got some bacon, we've got some fresh vegetables, we've got some mousse ravioli and some chicken broth, and it's cooking away here. And if you've been listening to the show, you know that one of my favorite things to do as I go on these little adventures is to eat, and this is not going to be any exception. I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's about time that we mention our other two guests here with us this afternoon. It's not just me and Mo. He's not cooking just for me, although I could get used to that, absolutely, for sure. No problem. Have a personal chef? No problem. But we do have a couple of other guys here. We actually have Maurice's brother-in-law, Andrew Denine, and Andrew's cousin, Doug Hussey, are here with us. And actually, Doug seemed to be a bit of the foreman on this adventure today. Would you say that's fair, Doug?
No, I don't think so. I just know the area, that's all.
Right. So you have a cabin in this area as well?
That's correct, yep.
So how long have you been coming up here?
In this area, probably 6 years.
Oh, okay. So you're pretty familiar with the trails and stuff.
Yep.
It's a fairly intricate network of trails. It'd be easy to get lost and that kind of thing. But I guess in 6 years of hunting up here, you've kind of got it mapped out pretty well.
Oh, yeah. So, like, in the summertime, I bring my kids and stuff in there fishing and stuff. So, like, you know, the hunting part of it comes with, the fishing and stuff too. So, like, I know where the moose net are hanging out and, you know, where the trails they get into. So, like, I always exploring in her.
Right, absolutely. So how about you, Andrew? Have you been hunting with Doug a long time?
I wouldn't say a long time, but we've certainly been on a few hunts together.
Yeah, that's nice. So you usually hunt up in this area as well?
We have, and we've done one out in Bonavista there probably 10 years ago.
Okay.
So it was pretty good.
Nice, nice. So there is a bit of an age difference. I'm not going to say who's older and who's younger, but I guess when you were younger, did you kind of take Andrew in and take him outdoors? Was that a part of your relationship when you were kids, or is this a new thing that you've gotten on the go?
No, I think Andrew enjoyed it himself, so like I said, like it's just that both of us enjoy the same thing, so we try to do it together.
That's good. It's awesome. I love to see family hunting and fishing together. It's how people kind of come to it. So your kids, you mentioned that you take them up fishing as much as possible. Are they into the moose hunting now as well?
Well, this year was the first year that my oldest, he's 14, he came hunting with me, but I wouldn't say he's really into it. I guess it's an age thing, but you know, I think as time goes on, he realizes that I like it, so he'll probably be around more.
That's good. And with the new hunting ages too, I think we won't kind of lose teenagers in those years where they can kind of turn to their friends a little bit more, and it's cooler to hang out with your buddies than it is to hang out with your parents. So hopefully that'll happen and that'll come forward. So guys, lunch is almost ready now, and right after lunch we're going to get back on the trail and hopefully fill our tags today. Well, we're back to the cabin, and as you may have guessed, we were unsuccessful on our moose hunt this afternoon, but we weren't unsuccessful altogether. Any day spent in the woods is a successful day, I'd say. How about you, Maurice? How do you feel about that?
I thought it was an excellent day, actually. Everything happens for a reason. It was pretty warm out today, so it's kind of not all bad that we didn't get it today.
No, you're absolutely right. So you guys are used to kind of hunting around in this area. Would you say that the moose are as plentiful now as they used to be?
Well, I'm up here 6 years, and 6 years ago there was a lot more moose visible. Now, like I said, there's a lot more traffic up there now, so it's probably moose are driven back a bit, but it's probably also, you know, hunting too, right? I mean, got them, right? So
yeah, we heard a lot of gunshots around today, and we didn't hear any ourselves from ourselves, but there was a lot of kind of traffic, even though it felt like we were really remote. But as we said earlier, this is a busy place, is after getting built up over the years for sure. So definitely probably some hunting pressure, and it was a very warm day today, so I'd say all the moose were bedding down.
17, 18 degrees?
Yeah, for sure. So not an ideal condition for moose hunting, but it was an excellent conditions for a great day. So thanks so much, folks. We're going to head back over to Maurice's cabin, and I've still got a couple of people to meet before I leave Brigus Junction this evening. We'll be right back on the Outdoor Hour on your VOCM. Welcome back to the Outdoor Hour on your VOCM. I'm your host, Leslie Ann Corrigan, and we've been on the go today doing some moose hunting. If you're just tuning in, I'm in Brigus Junction, and we're just finishing up a day of moose hunting and climbing on board the pickup here now. The cabin party is on. Of course, we wouldn't miss it. We are here. I've got a couple of more people to meet. Maurice's parents are up for the weekend, and when I arrived last night, they were out at a party, and they were still in bed when I left to go hunting this morning, so I'm eager to get the lowdown on their evening for sure. Oh no, look guys, I got a flat tire on the truck. I guess I'll leave you to that.
we'll look after this, thanks.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, the roads are good up here, but they're not that good, I guess. It could be my driving. Hello.
Oh.
Hello, puppy.
Hello,
Miss Boudreau. How are you?
Awesome, good. How are you?
I am great. Thank you. No worse for the wear.
Did you get your moose?
We didn't get any moose at all. Now.
That's all right then.
So I hope you got something else for supper because you're not having any fresh moose.
No, sure.
Well, that's why I would get the table ready.
Maurice said he was going to have a cook the stew because I sent back word and I said, "Let me know what you want me to cook for you."
You're a very good assistant.
Somebody called and they just called and they said, "Maurice has come with a moose, so get the frying pan ready."
The frying pan, cut up the onions.
And we were trying right hard to be quiet all day, all morning. We never got up till after 9 because you were going to be home late last night, and you'd be. Time came out to, and he said, "She's not in the bedroom."
You're not in the bedroom.
She must have went with them.
Yes, of course. Yes, that's why I came.
My God!
When I looked out, I said, "Doreen."
You're not going home tonight, are you?
Oh my gosh, yes, yeah. I have to go home tonight. Mom is home with the two kids, so I have to go home and relieve her.
I said you got two flats. I got a flat.
So the guys are out there at it now. I actually must have been last night when we were up to Doug's cabin for a visit.
Yeah.
And you guys were out to the party.
Yes.
And then so we missed each other, kind of thing.
I know.
How was the party?
It was lovely.
Nice.
We got home around. A little after 10, I guess.
It's nice to be able to kind of
come
get
in for a minute. Come in and sit down. You're going to get a cup of tea or something.
At least a cup of tea. Hey.
Oh my!
And Maurice came in.
Aren't you going to have some fish that Maurice cooks?
Well, I don't think I'll be able to wait that long. I hate to turn down a meal that Maurice is cooking, but I think
that's
I don't want to be out too late. You don't want to overstay your welcome with Nans and Pops because you guys are so good.
That's okay.
I'm going to say now it's pretty bad. You got somebody going with you all this week. And now she's not staying to have your because she don't like your food.
Oh, yes, he's driving me away with his food. Well, I tell you what, he cooked a fine feed for us today. He cooked, he stuffed fresh pasta last night with this moose filling that he made. So we had fresh pasta with moose and then all kinds. It was amazing. It was the best meal I've had in the woods. Normally, it's just a little slice of
bread or something. So you weren't moose hunting today?
We were. So this is the thing. I'm used to bird hunting. I'm not a big moose hunter. So with bird hunting or rabbit hunting, you're on the go the whole day.
Yes, that's right.
With the moose hunting, it's just call and wait, kind of scout around, go to the break of trees. Every now and then we went for a walk around and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
We were on the go, but it was a lot of waiting. So I think I'm going to go back up to the Barrens next weekend and go back to bird hunting for sure.
That's your first experience with moose hunting?
No, actually I was with Maurice and Andrew a couple of years ago when I was with the Newfoundland Sportsman. We tried to do a TV show.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing, but we didn't get our moose then either, so I think I'm bad luck.
No,
you're not bad luck.
You weren't with them last year and you didn't get it either.
You know who's the bad luck?
Who's that?
Andrew.
Andrew.
Because I told him. I said, Maurice goes with you. You get none.
Can I get you a cup of tea?
I'll have a cup of tea. That'd be great.
So when his body,
when his body
from up the shore goes up, they get the moon. So I said, the best thing for you to do is let Maurice go. And you stay home with your wife or whatever you got.
He's hard luck, yes.
Yeah. You fresh milk or tin milk?
Nothing for me, just black, yeah.
Oh, black tea?
Yes,
yeah. So you want it toast?
No, black? I think
we make you ham.
No, you don't need to make
sandwich.
If you have a muffin, though, we might.
Oh, yes,
I know. We got no muffin.
No muffin. You ate them all, did you?
Who told you we had muffin?
Oh, she already let the cat out of the bag. So.
Yeah, that's right. I made them this afternoon, blueberry ones.
Oh, nice. Well, I can't turn that down.
So they're changing the tire.
Yes, they hopefully. Yeah, I should go out and check on them, I suppose. But I wanted to come in and say hello.
They got luck. Have they got the lug wrench? The lug wrench, right?
I see. It's a new truck to me, new to me, and I have no idea. So Andrew's a mechanic, so I'm going to leave them to their own devices. I'd only be in the way out there right now.
The thing is.
Well, sure, even when we put on our lunch today, the flies, as soon as you open up a can of something, the flies are around. I mean, you gotta be super careful.
So where did you have this meal that Maurice cooked for you, up at Doug's house?
So we started it last night at Doug's house. He made the pasta last night at Doug's house and filled it and whatever else. Fresh pasta.
Yeah, he does. And he makes it fresh.
It's amazing. Yeah. And then, he put it all together and then finished it up on the hills today.
Oh, yeah. I see.
Yeah. No, it was perfect. I better go check on the guys. Well, anyway, Mr. and Mrs. Bourgeois, I can't thank you enough for your hospitality. The sign that you had on my door was the sweetest thing. I know I never even got a chance to see you, but I still felt very welcome.
I said I probably had your name spelled incorrect.
No, my goodness.
So terrible that we weren't home when you were coming.
No.
And then Maurice had the understanding that we were going out Saturday night, which was my mistake. I thought it was Saturday at the time. And then when I told him, he said, well, Mom, we should get things straight. I said, yeah, I know.
Yeah, well, listen to me. It's not your fault. It's his fault. Because he called last night, we're here. Okay? So then I said, okay, you're home. You know, because he knew home. So next thing...
We were coming home at 10. We came home at 10, before 10, actually.
Yeah, but he called
then. You were left before that.
Yes.
We're going up to Doug for an hour. Okay, I said, we'll be up when they come. We'll be up when they come back. 1 o'clock.
Well, you know what an hour is like.
I know, yes, indeed.
So it was a 20-minute drive up there. I couldn't believe this place is built up so much.
I know, yes.
And some of the cabins up there, my goodness.
Oh, they're mansions.
They are.
The loggers, yeah.
After going up there.
A lot of log cabins there.
A lot, and I guess a lot of full-time residents, too. Would there be up that way?
Oh, yes, yeah. Definitely. Oh, yeah.
Here, we got what? We got, I say...
15?
No, more than that now.
Wow. That's good. It's only 45 minutes from town to
Royal.
Exactly. That's what we like about it. Yes. 45 minutes from our door to here.
Yeah. There's a girl, where her father lives. Her father is not up there, but the next one.
Yeah.
He came here because his son was down on the lower road and they got a pony. Then she bought him a horse last year. Bought her husband a horse. She got two girls.
Right.
One goes to school, so they... She goes down. I said to her, starting to her a couple of weeks ago, where does Jerome go to school? Well, I drops him off, and I got to go pick him up. So then, before that, I met the daughter. You know, we were coming in, and she said that. I said, that's my daughter. Hello, and everything else. So she bought a place up here. Her and her husband. The cabin wasn't that big.
Yeah.
So her father and her husband and all the family, they got in. They got it up, siding on it and everything now. It's a big cabin.
That's good.
So there are a lot of people here, basically.
A lot of people full time. So the snow clearing and everything is all you guys
yes.
kind of pitch in.
Well, we pay so much towards the snow clearing.
Yeah.
You know, and then we pay also for the upkeep of the roads throughout the...
Like grading and things like that.
Oh,
yes,
that's coming up.
Well, they could do a little bit of work on that. My tire can tell the tale.
Yes. Oh, my God.
All right, guys, I'm ready to hit the road. Thanks again.
Yeah.
It was a great weekend.
Welcome.
And I can't believe I'm leaving without fish stew, but I have to go home to my babies.
Yeah, makes sense.
I'll
figure something out for Monday.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Well, thanks again, guys.
Okay.
Be careful.
Carefully.
I will.
Careful.
Thank you. Well, I managed to escape without taking any more food from Mrs. Boudreaux. She's one of those classic Newfoundland ladies who can't feed you enough and can't take care of you enough. She's absolutely lovely, and it was a great weekend. We're going to catch up with the crowd at the Hungry Heart Cafe and Stella's Circle for more on their initiative with the moose license and how it all works, and I'm really looking forward to that. You've been listening to the Outdoor Hour, and this is Leslie Ann Corrigan on your VOCM. And welcome back to the Outdoor Hour. I'm Leslie Ann Corrigan, and we have been on the go this week. If you've been listening today, then you know that I have been out moose hunting with my good friend Maurice Boudreau and his brother-in-law and his cousin. We've been having a great time, but I'm back in the city now. I don't always like to come back after an excursion, but today is a bit of an exception, because I get to hang out at the beautiful Hungry Heart Cafe. And as we did talk about earlier in the show, the license that we were hunting this weekend is a charity license for Stella's Circle. And Hungry Heart Cafe is, I guess, a project, an initiative of the Stella's Circle. And this initiative is something that I have, I love to come down here to eat, but I love to hear as much about it as possible because it's doing great things here in our community. But far be it for me to try to tell you exactly what these folks do. I'm sitting here with Rob McClellan, and he's the Director of Employment Services with Stella's Circle. So I brought him on board, and he can help us figure out exactly what Stella's Circle is and what this moose might mean to them. So Rob, welcome to the show. Can you tell us exactly what is Stella's Circle?
Great. Thank you very much, Leslie Ann. It's lovely to have you here today. Well, Stella's Circle is a leading nonprofit community organization that provides services to adults who face many barriers, we'll say, to fully participating in society. And, you know, when you think on those barriers, many associated with living in poverty, and folks present with mental health challenges, inadequate housing, limited attachment to the labor force, and education, low literacy. So this is where, you know, we'll say on the periphery, right? Living on the periphery of society. So our mission is to help people transform their lives through real homes, real help, and real work. So they're kind of the three pillars. And when you think of what those pillars represent, right? It's inclusion. It's a place to live. It's good mental health, and it's a vocation, it's a job, it's recreation, it's a place to go and do some meaningful things in your day that contribute to your health and the health of our community. So that's where the Hungry Heart Cafe fits in, because it's a social enterprise initiative that's been open now since 2008 here at Rollins Cross. It's a thriving, lovely neighborhood cafe and catering business. And as you referenced, Maurice Boudreau is our executive chef here, and has brought his love of wild game and availing of local ingredients to the culinary training program that we offer here to help individuals learn the skills of the food service industry and find that real work, you know, that I mentioned just a moment ago, maybe to enter the workforce for the first time after years of unemployment, or maybe to discover a piece of the restaurant industry that's a good fit for them.
Right, and as you mentioned, so people kind of come in, they take on employment here, and they learn right on the job from chefs like Maurice and how to exist in and thrive in society.
Learning by doing, right? I mean, we talk about that a lot. And the kitchen, you know, a commercial kitchen, for those not so familiar, it's second to none for providing people that opportunity to, there's a real, we say like a division of labor back there, you know, whether you're working on washing dishes or if you're doing some prep work, learning recipes, cutting vegetables. There's just so much that goes on in the kitchen, up to running the line and doing some of the more advanced work like Maurice would do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I worked in many commercial kitchens over the years. I actually worked with Maurice. I was a server under Maurice, and he is the picture of patience and a chef that is a rare quality. So he's probably the ideal person to have as an executive chef in a social enterprise kitchen like this. But also he is very good at what he does. So I'm sure, there's no small job in a kitchen. And I do know that for sure. So that sense of responsibility that you talked about is so important when you're going to work. You want to feel like you're
accomplishing something, that there's a purpose for you. So that's a wonderful initiative. So what other, outside of the Hungry Heart Cafe, what other types of social initiatives does the Stella Circle take on?
Well, I mentioned the three pillars. So that's Real Homes. So Stella Circle is the largest provider of nonprofit housing in the province, outside of the city of St. John's and Newfoundland and Labrador Housing. So we have 79 homes, and we work to help people find safe, affordable housing. And we also work in the area of Real Help. So our organization, Stella Circle, really had its beginnings at Emmanuel House, which was run by Reverend Dr. Stella Burry, who is a social worker and deaconess with the United Church. And our organization really grew from that residential mental health treatment program over on Cochrane Street. We also have a shelter for young women, Naomi Center, and a community support program that helps people with serious persistent mental illness live in community, the Just Us Women's Program, which does tireless work over at the Clarenville Correctional Institute for Women. The employment programming that I mentioned, adult basic education, you know, for folks who are experiencing low literacy levels. Our Stella Circle Inclusion Choir is an example of some of the recreation programming. There's a lot that's going on, but when you distill it all down, it's about helping people move from the periphery, right, from the margins, in to become more active in their community.
Mm-hmm. And what I've always just like to hear, and what I always enjoy hearing about with this particular organization, and I think the name is so fitting, it is a circle. And some of the programs that you've mentioned there, you're really helping all of the aspects of these individuals. So you're helping them with employment and with home, but you're also helping them with recreation and socialization. And that is so important to maintaining our mental wellness and, of course, our employability. It is the social aspect of it.
That holistic, right, approach that you're referencing is, I think it is key. And I think we all kind of do better. Sometimes we say, you know, with a home, a job, and a friend, or a home, a job, and a community. And I think today's topic, the notion, you know, add a layer to that, and being able to spend time outdoors as I guess the raison d'etre for your show. Mm-hmm. We'll talk some more about what brings us together today that way.
Yeah, for sure. And it's nice to get together. And it's a common theme throughout the show this year, especially with COVID. But in any time, the outdoors is definitely a place where you can kind of ground yourself again. And so it's been really important. We had a great weekend. We didn't get any moose, but here we are. I'm sure that your tag will be filled and the moose will be in the freezer before too long. So what's the next step then? I mean, we've talked a lot about what Stella Circle does. What will you be doing with this moose?
As a food ingredient for a restaurant, we would take the moose, as we do with an approach that we take with all of the activities here at the cafe. We leverage those activities for their learning and for how they enrich both the participants in the program and the community generally. So if you take the example of the moose, there's so many opportunities for people to be exposed to a local natural source of protein that many people that we would support have not had the experience of being surrounded by the opportunity to go in the forests and barrens and green space of Newfoundland and Labrador and actually hunt or be involved that way. So there's that piece. There's butchery and the opportunity to receive that meat and be involved with it from the beginning. It really contextualizes, right? So from the beginning, the butchery, the storage of the meat, then ultimately the preparation of that meat, and then seeing it through to its most likely in the case of the moose, three outcomes with respect to how we would how we'd make use of it. But and 100% utilization, which is a great lesson.
Oh, I know that, Chef Mo. There's not much left.
Right. Exactly.
Yes, absolutely. So I guess you'll be using it as a food ingredient here at the restaurant, but for your catering as well. You'll have for a period of time some offerings on your catering menu that may include moose.
So yeah, that's right, Leslie Ann. It's going to be utilized in at least three ways. So one would be here as a, you know, as an ingredient in many of the dishes that will appear over the course of the next year. And so implicit with that would be the involvement of participants in our food service work experience program, being involved in the interpretation of the recipe, the preparation, and being involved to see it out to the table or to the catering customer.
Right.
So that's number one. Number two, we have a program called Meal Squared here. So patrons, catering customers are able to leave a toonie or a contribution with their meal, and we will use that to create affordable meals, individual portions for people who are in need of a meal. And across our community, that is certainly significant, and perhaps never so much as during these unique times that we're experiencing now through COVID-19. So as an ingredient here at the restaurant, as part of our Meal Squared, quite likely some of the mousse will also appear at Emanuel House and Naomi Center, two of our programs, or the Just Us Women's Program, and some of the meals associated with those programming areas. So no shortage of need and no shortage of appreciation. And in some respects, it's always interesting because we really, and I know Maurice is always charged up with this, but it's exposing people to, if not mousse for the first time, mousse prepared in ways that may be a little different and very, you know, yet different than what people might be accustomed to with mousse.
Yeah, he's very good at kind of enhancing the flavor of the game meat, but, you know, with respect to our traditions, but to expose us to some new flavors and all that. So that's, it's great. I am very excited because I'm going to get to go and expose myself to some of these flavors now shortly. He's in the kitchen and he's cooking up something for us to try with last year's mousse because we were not successful again. Oh, no. But hopefully, no pressure on Maurice, but he's going to have to pull up his socks and get that mousse for you guys because it sounds like it's going to be put to very good use when he does.
Well, isn't there a great lesson just right there? Hey, you know, just because you didn't get the mousse this weekend, you know, perseverance, and everybody shows up and you have another go at it next weekend.
That's right. And that's a common lesson in the outdoors. No matter what you're doing, it is perseverance. And it's something that obviously the clients of Stella Circle have to endure and persevere every day. So that's something that we want to keep mindful of. So I'm going to take a break here now. When we come back, I'm going to be in the kitchen with Chef Mo on the Outdoor Hour on your VOCM. So we're in the kitchen with Chef Maurice. I'm Leslie Ann Corrigan, and we're back here on the Outdoor Hour. I've been chatting with the folks at Hungry Heart Cafe, and actually we're out for a little mousse hunt. If you've just tuned into the show, you missed it. So you're going to have to catch it again when it comes out as a podcast. Very soon, right after we air this evening, they're going to share the link for the podcast, and you can listen to this show anytime. So if you're just tuning in, you are definitely going to want to check this one out. I get to go mousse hunting and eating, all in the same show. So we're at the eating part now, and I'm here with my friend Chef Maurice Boudreau. The last time we chatted, Maurice, we were out in the country, so I was leaving you, and you were going to try the next morning. How'd you make out?
The next morning, it was a better morning weather-wise, and it stayed a lot cooler, but unfortunately, we had the same luck.
Aww.
Yeah, so... But, you know, that's not all bad. We get to go again.
That's hunting. Exactly, right? Because that's the fun. I won't get to go again, unfortunately. You'll miss me.
Yes. Yes. You're a great help.
Yes. You should get your dad out. We had a grandchild.
Oh, yeah. He would love it.
He would definitely.
He's got a good appetite.
He definitely does. So, what are we cooking here? It's obviously not this year's mousse, then. What have we got?
So, we do have some left, but we are getting pretty low now for this year. I thought I would make a ramen dish, and it's a good one to show, you know, the how we use as much of the mousse as possible. So it's using some of the cuts that we ground up, and then also using the bones for stock.
Okay, and actually it's perfect because Rob and I were just talking about before the break, how you always seem to take the mousse and do things with it that you wouldn't normally kind of picture mousse as in a ramen dish. Not sure there's much traditional ramen going around with mousse, but I'm really glad that these two kind of cultures are fusing here today. So I guess that's something that guests who come in as patrons of the Hungry Heart Cafe really appreciate, but also people in the community as part of the social initiatives that you're using the mousse for.
Yeah, I mean, you can definitely find burgers on the menu, and we're going to have some, we're in a burger promotion at the end of this month and early November, so the mousse burger will be back.
I have to say, folks, not to interrupt you, Maurice, but I had the great pleasure of having one of Maurice's mousse burgers some time ago, and it was actually the best burger, not mousse burger, the best burger, bar none, I've ever had in my life. So do stay in touch with the Hungry Heart Cafe on social media to catch when that special is happening. You don't want to miss that for sure. I'll definitely be back.
No, check that out. Yeah,
absolutely. So hopefully it'll be fresh mousse by then, though, right?
Oh, it will be. I think this Saturday is looking real good for getting the mousse.
So tell me, Maurice, how does the license work? You guys are a charity. That's different from other restaurants. Other restaurants have to kind of purchase their meat, I guess. And they have to go through different processes. But for you guys, it's a little bit different. So how do you guys get your license?
Yeah, I guess we're fortunate in that we're an initiative of Stella Circle. And Stella Circle is a registered charity. So they apply for a charity mousse license. And this year we've been successful in that, and previous years as well. So then once we get that, it goes through them, and it's actually sold to the Hungry Heart Cafe. So at the cafe now, we'll use it for either revenue generation or, you know, certain meals, as Rob might have mentioned.
Right. Yeah. He definitely did. And so this mousse ramen that we're about to cook now, you know, obviously it didn't come off the bone looking like this and ready to go. It's a long process in between. If we had to get our mousse, we would have been able to get into it a little bit more. But can you tell us one thing that I do notice about butchery, and when people first get their mousse, traditional hunters, it's just, you know, whack it up so you can get it out of there. But what are some things that you would tell hunters as they're going out now of main things that they kind of want to do to protect the quality of the meat?
Yeah, I mean, obviously everyone, I think, knows now, this day and age, that you have to get it out as fast as you can. The temperature really affects the final product. If you're the type of person that sort of isn't in a rush, then, you know, give it a shot. You'll notice a big difference in the end. I mean, I grew up and I remember distinctly the taste of my first mousse dish, but it's not like that today. We're really fortunate between myself and the other hunters that have been with us over these last few years. We take really great care in the field, and it starts from there. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, I know typically when you get a mousse roast out of your freezer, it doesn't look much like a beef roast that you would get at the grocery store. Why is that? Why are butchers not cutting the same? Is it just because we don't ask them to?
It could be. I mean, really, it is time-consuming when you break it down. And when you have such a large animal, it can be time-consuming. But really, when you take that time and you break it down into the primals and the subprimal cuts, the anatomy is identical pretty much to a...
Just a bit larger.
Yeah, to a beef. It could be larger. It could be smaller, mm-hmm. right? Depending on how lucky you are. So the really cool thing about being here at the cafe and having such a large animal is that we can process it here on site. A lot of people probably don't have the same wherewithal, but really it's the same. If you're cutting it off the bone and throwing it in a bucket to be stew or to be going to the butcher for mince, I mean, really, it's just a bit of knowledge, and you know where the cuts are, and you can cut it just like a butcher, mm-hmm. really.
Right.
Yeah.
And I guess when you go to your butcher, if you're not so inclined to take it on yourself, if you don't have the space or the commercial kitchen that you guys have, but when you're in the field and you have that big mousse and you're going to cut it up into four quarters, is there anything special that you would suggest people do, you know, before they start hacking that they should definitely take out the back strap or whatever?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you want to know, I'm pretty sure that a lot of moose hunters know where the back strap is. Everyone talks about the back strap, but your loin cuts around the rear, around the backbone, all those cuts, they're going to be your most tender. They'll be lean like most moose, you know. There's not a lot of marbling in the meat, so that's why we urge people not to overcook your meat, and it's probably why people find sometimes their moose is dry, is because they might be overcooking it. So as long as you take care during the cooking process, you know, you could have moose that's just as tender as anything, but you have to be careful when you're cooking it.
Right.
As for when you're in the field and you want to take care to cut, yeah, you want to be careful of where you're quartering to, that you're not going right through the tenderloin or the strip loin, you know.
Right, and there's lots of videos online that you can kind of look into, and especially on beef butchery, especially, that you can tap into and a resource there before you go out into the field. One thing that I learned this weekend that I didn't know before, because we were hunting in pretty warm temperatures, obviously the plan was to wrap it in cheesecloth right away, but Doug had a suggestion of black pepper.
Yeah, they say black pepper works just as well as cheesecloth. I mean,
to keep the flies off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you learn something new every day on the Outdoor Hour. Well, I'm excited to learn something new right now. So we're cooking ramen. So exactly what is involved with this dish?
So what we've done is when we first got our moose, we take the bones and we make large amounts of stock. And then we reduce it down to increase its flavor. And then from that, we can make different dishes. We can use it for soup. We can use it as a base for different sauces. And like this one is a ramen. It's a noodle dish with a broth. Mm-hmm. So the broth is built from the moose stock. Then we also have some mince or some ground moose that we've ground on site. We'll take that. We'll flavor it with some garlic, some ginger, a little bit of sesame, and make a meatball out of that.
Nice. So, well, let's serve it up and see what it's all about.
Perfect.
So we're sat here now, sitting down to our bowl of ramen. So you have to tell me a little bit more about this. You told me it was just noodles and mousse, but you lied. There's lots more in here.
Mm.
What have we got?
So we have a soft poached egg. That's a local farm does those. We have some nori, some pickled winter chanterelles. They're locally foraged as well. And some more farm ingredients is the kohlrabi. It's very similar to a turnip, but very versatile. And delicious.
Delicious is right. This is so good. Well, thank you so much, Chef Maurice, and everybody else. We're all sat at different tables here having our lunch at the Hungry Heart Cafe, not bursting any bubbles. That's for sure. But I do want to thank you all so much for joining me today. It was an excellent learning experience, and it's only given me more of a reason to come down to Hungry Heart Cafe, as if I needed any encouragement to come down. So definitely look out for that moose burger special. You're not going to miss it. And I will look out for your posts about getting that moose, Maurice.
All right. Yeah, it won't be long.
No, definitely not. Thanks so much for listening, folks, to the Outdoor Hour. Please do keep in touch with us on our Facebook page. I'm going to post pictures of my meal today and some pictures from our adventure earlier the week. And again, you can find the link to the podcast there as well. If you missed some of the show today, you can catch up with us there. Thanks so much. This has been the Outdoor Hour, and this is your VOCM.